Trinity Sunday. There's a story that I think many of us have heard of St. Augustine, this great mind of the church. I'll leave it to Father Borgenhagen to come up here and argue whether he or St. Thomas are the ones that have contributed most to the intellectual and spiritual life of the church. But it's the story of St. Augustine, great mind, great lover of God, a heart inflamed with the fire of the Holy Spirit. And he's wrestling with this question of how to understand the Trinity. And the story is that he has a vision or a dream. What's the difference? I'm not sure. But he has a dream, a vision, where he's walking along the beach after struggling to think, to understand. And he sees this child, this little boy, taking a pail. He dug himself a little hole, and he's digging this hole, and he takes this bucket and goes to the ocean, and he pours the water from this little bucket into the little hole. And he asks the little boy after a few moments, "What are you trying to do?" And the little boy says that, "I'm trying to fill the ocean, put all of this water in this little hole." And he tells them, "You can't do this." And the little boy looks at him and says, "Well, this is what you're trying to do." And he understood in this moment that the understanding of the Trinity had to be something very different. He realized in that moment that he was like that little boy as this dream, as this vision revealed to him. This past week, I had the greatest opportunity, providential, of course, as we approach this Trinity Sunday today, that I got to spend about 3 or 4 days on the Oregon coast. And I got to see this. I got to see the beautiful waves crashing against those proud rocks and over time reshaping the coast as the water deems appropriate. The changing of the tides, the currents, the ripples, the waves, the rhythm of the ocean, the sound like thunder. A familiar sound to us Kansas boys out there hearing this repeated crashing of the waves upon the beach. It was beautiful. It was mesmerizing. It drew me in. It drew me in. And I sat there looking at this beautiful sight. And granted, I didn't see a little boy trying to put the ocean into the hole that he had dug. But I did see boys that were digging holes. And as many of you could probably guess, they were digging holes to bury their siblings in the sand. I would sit there and watch. They dig this hole. Of course, the sibling willing, jumping in the hole, then piling on the sand. They leave. They continue on with their play, playing on the surface of the earth the whole time. And the waves crash upon this hole. And the next day, it's completely gone, completely erased. I saw as the sun went down, families coming out, building fires along the beach. I saw these beautiful fires. I could smell it because it was down the wind, up the wind from where I was. And I could smell the fire. I could smell the wood and the black, the ash from the fire on this beautiful sand, this beautiful soft sand, blew along and left its mark. But of course, the next day, the water came and washed it all away. It washed it all away, completely erased, completely made new, completely restored by this beautiful rhythm of something so infinite, so marvelous, something so far beyond me. And I realized perhaps this beautiful image and dream of St. Augustine and looking at that magnitude of the ocean, particularly large for someone from Kansas. And I thought, who would want to take the ocean out of itself anyway? Just like a beautiful sheet of snow violated by footprints, muddy footprints across the scene. It's irreverent. It's irreverent. When we see such a beautiful and compelling sight, the thought isn't, how can I take this for myself? How can I seize it? How can I possess it? No, there's a different question, a different proposition that stares us in the face and without words. And if we were to perhaps put words to it, it might be something like this. Are you willing to surrender yourself to the beauty of what is presented to you? What is shown before you? Are you willing to surrender yourself? This perhaps is a starting point for us as we approach this understanding of the Trinity, because we recognize quite profoundly that the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, Father, Son, and Spirit, three persons and one God, is not primarily, principally, or firstly a theological thing to be defined. It is a communion of persons. A communion of persons to be known and to be loved. A communion of persons to be known and be loved by. That's the magnitude of this day. We don't sit there scratching our beards or our heads in front of a chalkboard. We fall on our knees before the altar of the Most High God. That's how we come to stand under the magnitude of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And how providential this year, something familiar that we know, that's already in our hearts and in our mouths, on our lips, ready to profess this love that we have been known and sealed by, created from. This is what we are, constituted as people, made from love, for love, by love, through love. And it is only through this gift that we come to understand ourselves, to possess ourselves in order that we may give ourselves away. How providential that this year, Holy Trinity, Trinity Sunday, falls on Father's Day. Father, a new name, no longer known primarily by their first name, but this new name, Father, Dad, Husband. This is a relational name, not understood by themselves autonomously or for themselves, but in their relationship to others. The Father is the Father because of the Son. The Son is the Son because of the Father. And the Spirit is that which proceeds from them both. Not so unfamiliar to the pattern of love that the Lord has designed within us, for we are made in his image and likeness. And so today, my brothers and sisters, you fathers, husbands, men, we get to ask ourselves critically, a gut check before the Lord. Are we living our life in such a way that we become a burning symbol of the Trinity before the world? Do we exist for another? Do I embrace this identity, this vocation that is to be for another? Spouse, husband, father, am I living for another? Am I living for the Lord? And do I see the loves in my life in relationship to this great love of God? God's love and his identity is even larger than the ocean. And this is the love that he's pouring into our hearts, that we may love as he loves, as he has loved us. Love one another as I have loved you. How beautiful for us to have these moments to see something so grand, so marvelous, so beautiful beyond us. And have this profound sense, I'm not seizing this, I'm surrendering to it. This, my brothers and sisters, is our springboard. Yes, Lord, I surrender my pettiness to your love. I surrender my sinfulness to the magnitude of your mercy. I surrender my fears to the courage that you breathe into us by the power of the Holy Spirit. I surrender these locked rooms to you who stand in the midst with wounds in your hand and feet and breathe words of peace. Peace to you, I say. I say it again, peace be with you. I surrender to the magnitude of your peace that is given not as the world gives. What a marvelous day, my brothers and sisters, and may we stand for one moment, as we do every Sunday, and hopefully every moment of our Christian life, stand in marvel of the magnitude of this mystery, not confounded in the mind, but convicted, sealed, the sign of the Spirit, the seal of the Son burned into our hearts. Today, my brothers and sisters, is not a day of a question mark or scratching our head, but fire in the heart. Fire in the heart. Fire in the heart. Come, Holy Trinity, envelop us in your love. Confound us before the magnitude of your mercy, the magnitude of your love, the magnitude of your peace, the magnitude of your light, the magnitude of your joy, the grandiosity of your goodness, which certainly confounds our smallness of mind. And we are not turned away because of that smallness. We are set free. We are set free. We are set free.